Good morning, everyone. And as this goes out, it is Good Friday. It is the only Friday bank holiday in the UK. We always publish our podcasts on a Friday, and we decided today was no different. We were going to publish anyway, and we have got a cracker for you today. I am Kirsty McGregor. I'm accountant in residence at Capitalise and founder of the Corporate Finance Network. And today we welcome some of the team from the Made Smarter programme, and more on that shortly if you've never heard of it. So I'd like to welcome and introduce to you Brian Holliday, who in his main role is MD of Digital Industries in Siemens PLC, and also co-chair of the National Commission for Made Smarter, hence the relevance today. And we've also got Alan Dilworth, who is on the ground in the Northwest. He's a programme manager for the Northwest based at the Growth Company in Manchester, and they've been running Made Smarter for several years already. So he's got lots of experience. Brian, Alan, thank you very much for joining us. How are you today?
Excellent. I'm hoping at the moment of recording it's sun shining. I'm hoping when your listeners are listening on Good Friday, it is the same.
Let's hope so. Let's hope we've got a good bank holiday weekend. So let's get into the detail of this straight away. I'm going to ask Brian first of all, and then Alan, if you can also just come in. What's the history of the Made Smarter programme for those that don't know it yet, and who it helps? And then to both of you, what are your roles in the programme?
Excellent, thank you. Well, firstly, thanks for the invitation to contribute along with Alan, and I hope we can cover all of those questions around the national programme and what we're doing regionally. Made Smarter itself started really essentially on the back of a number of reviews that had looked at flatlining productivity in the UK economy. There were a number of them. There were a number of programmes in flight at the time. And Be The Business, indeed, was one of them, looking at productivity, Charlie Mayfield's organisation. But we hadn't got something that was really specifically looking at manufacturing, looking at productivity in manufacturing, but also, that sense that at the same time, we were seeing the emergence of what some have called the fourth industrial revolution, or Industry 4.0. And it's become quite a viral industrial idea. But there was these two things at play, sort of productivity and that sense of missing out because technology was progressing quickly. I think for those of us in manufacturing for a long time, of course, at 10% of the economy, we've sensed that it hasn't been treated with quite the sense of importance that perhaps it should. And I think if I look back to Vince Cable's 2010 Advanced Manufacturing Growth Review, I think the government had sort of given up on the long tail of manufacturing and had started thinking much more about advanced, cars, planes, high value products. But of course, we know the manufacturing sector has a very long tail of smaller firms. And so all of this was in the mix, productivity, underuse of technology, and not cutting through to the sort of the sector that was made up largely with a few primes and then a long tail of smaller firms. And I was really proud to be part of the original team that wrote the report. There was a number of industrial stakeholders, a number of companies involved as well. But essentially, we found, it's worth a read, by the way, the report is still available as a PDF for your listeners.
We'll put a link in the show notes, yeah.
Oh, brilliant, thank you. But essentially, we really recognised that we'd got a lack of effective leadership, both nationally, but also within firms. One of the things that held firms back was that sort of inability to sort of finance an investment or perhaps recognise the benefits of a technology investment. We saw that in poor levels of adoption. We sort of looked at the UK versus other nation states on automation and robots, for example, and we are much, much lower in our adoption. We actually unpicked a culture of make, do and mend, which we seem to sort of thrive on rather than to perhaps invest in technologies that can help make us more productive. And finally, we recognised that there was under-leveraged innovation. We weren't making the most in the manufacturing space of sort of developing and creating new industrial digital technologies. So I think, the report was well received, and it prompted, early investments, for example, in leadership programs, in Innovate UK funded innovation work. But most importantly to me, in a technology adoption pilot in the Northwest that helped start to create interactions with small firms who weren't necessarily thinking about some of these sort of ideas of Industry 4.0. They're trying to run businesses. They're trying to become more competitive, more productive, more sustainable. And so we recognize that active support was needed from coaching through to grants. And that, I hope, is serving as a reasonably good cue for Alan to perhaps pick up the story.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Kirsty. Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be here and talk about a subject I'm extremely passionate about, having spent, 20 odd years in the manufacturing industry myself before I crossed to the dark side and got involved in economic development. I think the operational history, if you like, of Made Smarter, sort of taking on from where Brian has just left off, is that we ran the pilot in the Northwest for 3 years from 2018. And in the middle of that, of course, we had a lot of fun with COVID-19. So we had to rethink our delivery methods a couple of times at least. And by the end of the pilot, we had evolved into a delivery model that seemed to work very well with businesses. All the feedback we've received has been extremely positive. And that is based around people who are independent of any sort of tech supplier, so completely agnostic view, and are able to give the company the best possible advice about how they might go on their adoption journey. And that's through a series of workshops and really, really structured and tailored support for the businesses, including grants, including student placements, hopefully to be reintroduced again, a special leading digital transformation program to support leaders in small businesses and how to adopt these projects and show the benefits. And we've worked with several thousand companies in the Northwest. I think it's about 3 or 4, latest count. And we're into sort of the 280 grants now that we've supported businesses with across a range of technologies. So I'm really proud of being part of this. And I just hope the longer term future that has already seen a rollout into 4 other regions with other little pockets of Made Smarter developing around the country can become a full national rollout, because I think the success is demonstrated by the progress that some of our clients have made.
So at the moment, it's in the Northwest, which is including Manchester and Liverpool and up to Cumbria.
Cumbria, it's basically Cumbria right the way down to Cheshire, Warrington, which is sort of ends at about, I'm going to get emails about this now, and somewhere around Crewe, somewhere like that, I think.
Okay, and then we've gone into West Yorkshire and the North East, or all of Yorkshire and the Humber, sorry, and the North East.
Yorkshire and the Humber, North East, West Midlands and West East Midlands.
And now East Midlands as well. Yes. Right. So it's working its way south down the country. And give me some examples of the work that, you know, things that you've actually changed or helped businesses change. So you say you've given some grants to several hundred, but you've helped 3,000 to 4,000. So if you've helped thousands of businesses, what's the difference? Is it just advice, which is free? Okay. Yes. And then the grants are to help them with buying, new equipment, is it?
Yes, it is essentially that. I think that the really important thing to stress here is that people that come to us, and there'll be different levels of engagement because there'll be different stages of their journey. Mm. And the Northwest is actually blessed with quite good business support in a variety of different ways. So we will get clients coming to us that will have an initial assessment with them and understand through what's been said that maybe they need to do a few other things before they start digitalization. Okay. So we'll refer them to other business services that so they can have a look at lean and have a few other things like that, because there's no point digitizing waste because you just make waste quicker. Yeah. So you want to really get all of those sort of steps in place. And that's the importance of our road mapping process, is that we will say, okay, before you do anything Made Smartery, we really think you should go and do this little program here to understand how lean manufacturing works. Then come back to us. And that's why there's this sort of a funnel of support, if you like, that the initial engagements will some will be ineligible because we are at the moment only allowed to work with manufacturing and engineering companies. But of course, we get inquiries from all sectors and all types of companies. So we sort of whittle down and then we'll offer the support as best we can. And I think what is really valued by our clients is the fact that we are independent. We're not trying to sell them anything. We're trying to give them the best possible advice and trying to find a solution that works for that business.
And I guess you have the you have the knowledge of what the solutions are in the market, don't you? So you're not just coming at this as one vendor, but you know all the different solutions that are out there because you are so yourself experienced in the manufacturing sector. So if we imagine a production line in a factory, say, What types of things would you do with those businesses? What types of things could they digitalize better, and what types of support have you given?
Very much depends on the business. Each one is unique and special in their own way. So one of the really important parts of the whole process is the line walk that we'll go look around the factory, talk to the people involved, look for the bottlenecks, look for the issues. The workshop we run is essentially in two parts. And the first part is us doing an awful lot of listening, not much talking at all, because we want to hear what the client, what their issues are, what their vision is for the future, you know, where their problems are. And then we will try and identify the best place to start that digitalization. And it may well not be, oh, we'll go and buy a robot to do this specific job at this specific moment in the production. But actually, there's quite a lot of companies still being run on spreadsheets and things like that. So if we can get that sort of data accuracy, sort of one version of the truth, for the management to be able to make decisions in real time with accurate data, that's such a key starting point for the whole process. Once that's in place, then yes, let's go look at automation, let's go look at additive manufacturing, let's go look at, you know, and all the other sort of technologies that are out there,
because then you can measure the change you've had as well, can't you, accurately?
Exactly. So,
yeah,
yes,
and know what impact you've had. Well, you're talking my language here, because manufacturing companies that don't understand their true costs and their true margins and stock levels and so on are just like where I've come from for 30 years, you know, like pulling our hair out. That's what accountants are trying to get businesses to take more on. So that's fantastic.
It's just an incredibly important time to be considering an intervention like this as well, because of course small manufacturers like large ones are facing higher energy costs, more supply chain disruption at a time when, you know, technology has a growing part of the answer. But if you're not aware of what it can do, of course, then it's a huge part of what we're discussing can make a difference to help business resilience as well as competitiveness. But it's really important that, you know, we some of the technologies we tend to list when we think of sort of industrial digitalization, we're not quite sure whether, well, is that me? Is that my firm? But they can start, you know, when we talk about digital twins, that can start with a simple simulation, simulating the sorts of inputs and outputs to a process that actually now our brains aren't big enough to process properly, or a spreadsheet isn't a great way to sort of try and work it out. And so we've got to be a little bit careful with language, that actually we turn it into something that means you've got a much, you know, better picture of your process to decide at what point do you bring a machine in or a robot? What point actually does that give you a really good payback or solve the business problem that you're looking for? You know, we found some of those interventions have included firms that were spending far too much on tooling compared to the cost of running an additive layer manufacturing process. Guess what? A 3D printer could account for a lot more of their tooling, for series production than perhaps they'd realize. But an expert coming in, being able to say, you realize you can do that. And the technology is both capable and at a cost level that makes sense. But equally on, you know, I mean, even just robots, I think a lot of your listeners won't necessarily be aware that you can get robots, little do-bots that will sit, a universal robot that will sit alongside operators in a factory and take on some of the more, mechanistic things that enable operators to go and do more value-adding.
Higher value,
But these start from a couple to £2,500. You know, they're not high cost as a start point. So I think there's this perception that somehow industrial digital technology is expensive. So one, it's more capable, I think, than most realise. And two, it's much lower cost. But as Alan suggested, it really has to be appropriately applied. So you've got to really work with an expert to work out what's the business problem you're trying to solve, given, you know, this sort of long list of quite disruptive challenges firms face at the moment. But if you work that out, work out a plan, and then think about some of the sort of technologies and skills that you need, I think this is where we're sort of seeing much greater success and impact. We're not quite back to sort of manufacturing advisory service in scope and scale, but we've proven that actually you do need an active intervention here in the UK to sort of unlock the level of investment that we've seen has been in decline.
Completely. I think it works because the small business owners that are still notoriously bad at they're very passionate about what they do, but they're not very structured in their ability to make strategies longer term. They're so busy day to day fighting all these fires and dealing with, you know, trying to service their clients and customers and win new work and take on new staff and train. And they've got so many things that they're responsible for that they're not able to look outside of their four walls. Most of them haven't got the time or the energy to look outside of the four walls and see what else is out there. And they're not necessarily part of networks. You know, I think we've got, as you say, we've got a long tail of manufacturing companies, haven't we, who, you know, are all quite small businesses, and they're still, a lot of the sectors see each other as competitors and not necessarily as collaborators and networkers. So they're not necessarily part of networks where they get to see other businesses either. And they're very insular and perhaps, you know, still working in a world 15, 20 years ago that and not able to see what's out there today and how it might work for them.
Deeply sympathetic to those business owners. There's no question. Yeah. I mean, think about just the sheer disruption of the last couple of years.
Totally.
It have been, you know, and we've seen a diminishing level of both skill and labour in the workforce out to boot on top of the energy and supply chain disruption. But I, you know, what we did find through the Made Smarter report was we looked at international comparators, and Germany is an interesting one because, you know, their long tail of small to medium firms in manufacturing, we've called the Mittelstand, but actually there's a certain stickiness. I think to your point about creating networks, they have a mandatory membership of a chamber of commerce. They have close working relationships with the finance routes that they've got with the local banks. They tend to have better standing in society. I'll give them that we don't tend to value our manufacturers as employers here as much as Germany. Mm. There's something about the stickiness of those sort of regional relationships in Germany that has helped consistent levels of investment into new plant and machinery, you know, well above the sort of levels we've seen here. So I don't think it's just a finance challenge. I do think it's kind of a cultural one.
Yeah.
This is where I think the networks help. Podcasts like this hopefully help if it prompts an opportunity to pick up a phone or look at a website to say, actually, maybe someone could help. Yeah. I think these things are tremendously important.
And so what's the future for this programme, do you hope, then? What's your dreams of where it might go? And how should accountants get involved? As you said, direct them to the website, I'm guessing you're going to say. But how can they find out when it's going to be active in their area, if it is?
So perhaps Alan can comment as well on access too, because I think that's really important to be really specific. But at the future, I'm hoping, I'm co-chairing with Minister Ghani, Nusrat Ghani, who's our Minister for industry, and we're working together on looking at trying to make this a national rollout.
Yeah.
I think it's incredibly important. You know, we've got some incredible innovation assets in this country. We've got, and I've just stepped off the board 7 years with the High Value Manufacturing Catapult, and they've actually become partners to Made Smarter, where companies are becoming sort of innovation hungry. I'm hoping Made Smarter will become the sort of gateway drug of innovation through to catapults and higher levels of innovation spend. But we do need a front door. Manufacturers, the long tail of small firms, need a really clear and simple front door to get access, help. And I want that to be Made Smarter. And I don't want it to be, am I in a region that's got a program or not? I want it to be national and really accessible and well-funded. And that's why I've asked Minister Ghani if she would work with me on finding £100 million, which will be the next 3 years of certainty, but at national level for our programme. Because that, you know, we know that it's a really good use of public money to help prompt the sort of investments that go on to add higher levels of GVA to the economy as well. So my dream, if you like, to your question is we've got a clear national program under whichever government that we have in the future that continues through parliamentary cycles to support manufacturers. Mm. And, you know, we continue at the same time to work on, you know, the leadership challenges in manufacturing that prompt investment at scale, but also with Innovate UK, that we become more of a leader in the industrial digital technology space, that we step up to deploy technologies in a really innovative way for those emerging sectors that are scaling. And I'm really encouraged in the budget to see government now starting to name specific technology groups where we're going to invest, including AI, including carbon capture, utilization, storage, including SMR, well, that creates great manufacturing opportunities, not just for big firms, but for the, you know, the long tail of supply chain firms that are part of that as well. So I think we can all grow and benefit if we put focus on this and we continue to invest. Over to Alan on access to support.
Thanks. Yeah, no, absolutely endorse that. It'd be marvellous to see a full national rollout of the programme, and I will support in any way I can, of course. In terms of access, the simplest and best way to get in touch with us is via the website, which is madesmarter.uk. And there's a wealth of information on there as well, but also an opportunity just to click on Start Your Journey and then register with us. We will be in touch. If you're not in the Northwest, for example, the website will recognise which region you're in and send your inquiry over to the appropriate team in the regions that are currently delivering the programme. So just to repeat, that's the Northwest, the Northeast, East and West Midlands and Yorkshire and the Humber. So they have their own dedicated teams and they will be glad to receive your inquiry and we'll be in touch. And then after that, we'll just take it at the pace you want to take it and be your trusted advisor. And I think the other thing I'd like to sort of stress on this as well is it's not a fire and forget service. We get calls from clients that we dealt with 1 to 2 years ago just saying, look, I've done this, it's all gone great. I'm thinking of doing this now. Can I have some advice, please? Of course you can. We're here to help. That's our mission, to continue that level of interaction with the clients.
And for those regions, those businesses that are in regions where there isn't a Madesmarter live yet, the website also directs them to their, well, either LEP or local authority or regional body, doesn't it?
It doesn't do that yet because we don't know who, there's such a moving picture of who does what. So yeah, what we do is we collect those leads and we'll send them across the bays. Sorry, okay. DBT as it is now. Yeah. And they will do, hopefully it just serves as a wealth of evidence in terms of the demand.
Yes, absolutely. Brilliant. Well, I've really enjoyed this chat. Thank you. I think it is such a positive thing that's going on in a time and in a sector that's struggling with so many challenges at the moment. And I now get to ask you the final question, which we ask all of our guests on this Future Positive podcast. What excites you both about the future? Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'll kick that one off.
Go on, Alan.
I think... What would excite me the most about the future, and in sort of slight relevance to what we've been talking about, is to see the manufacturing in the United Kingdom become a much more high profile part of the economy, where engineering and the engineers in general are recognised as being such an important part of the economy. Mm. And I think, as Brian was alluding to before, other countries have a much greater respect for the makers and thinkers and doers, and I'd love to see that become part of the culture of the UK.
Okay, and Brian,
I could respond by saying what he said. perhaps I could.
Just the two Ronnies, is it? Did that? Was who did that?
No, but you're seeing this as a common. Answer from those of us that have come through, you know, engineering and manufacturing backgrounds, that sense of frustration that our professional contribution is less valued, it would appear, than other sectoral or economic parts of our sort of national makeup. But maybe I could just add, what excites me is that there are a growing number of really exciting careers for perhaps young people looking at the sector. If we can get beyond some of the image problems that get propagated about manufacturing, to recognise that, and I've seen this with young people engaged in hackathons, where you sort of literally get together, it's a meritocracy, drop the job titles, we're going to solve problems, and we're going to do that over the next 2, 3, 4 days, and we take some really big chunky manufacturing challenges, and we did it in Ventilator Challenge during the pandemic, we've done it since, where actually you get to see people really thrive. Guess what? Go and build a digital twin of something that you derive new knowledge from.
go and build a robot to automate something that was a really tricky problem. You know, we've been able to accelerate the calibration time of the flow valve subassemblies on the mechanical ventilators, for example, just through a 4-day effort with people that were solving problems using some incredible digital tools that are now available. And that opens up, you know, to me, a world of opportunities to do some really big things. And it's not just the manufacturing sector, as Alan says, that perhaps I'm worried about here. Engineers hold in their hands the answers to saving the planet. Yeah. We have to do a better job of reducing carbon emitted into the atmosphere, greenhouse gases, which contribute to global warming. Industry is a large part of that because we heat things, cool things, move things, compress things, and so on. We have that because as consumers, we want and need the output of factories from manufacturing. But engineers hold the key to being able to go and actively intervene in this climate change emergency. And we've got to save the planet one factory at a time. So that to me is the really exciting career opportunity that exists for young people coming in at a time when we've got the technology, we just need the political will.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I've heard many times it's governments that set the policy, but it's businesses that will solve the problems. And manufacturers in particular and engineers are going to be the ones that absolutely do that for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, both of you. That wraps up this episode of the podcast. And for those new to Capitalise, our vision is to give small businesses and their advisors transparency and control over their business finance and to have healthy balance sheets and healthy businesses so that every small business can identify the risks that they might face and how to understand how they stand from a credit perspective and to choose the right funding that best fits their business, starting with supplier credit, internal working capital, before having to look externally. For those of you that don't already know that you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music and all good podcast platforms. And go back, please, and listen to our back catalogue, other fantastic episodes. And I'm reminded of the one we did with Wendy Smith of Innovate UK Edge, who was also talking about similar things last year. And that was a really interesting one as well. For more about Capitalising the Future Positive podcast, please see capitalise.com. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely bank holiday weekend. And don't forget, next Friday, we'll have another of our breakfast business podcasts where we'll discuss three business news stories, which you may have missed from the last couple of weeks. So please subscribe, tune in, and we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.